Okay, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 185. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And we have a bunch of movies. I don't think any of them. Well, we're going to have two at the end that we're going to talk about that we've both seen. We'll do more spoilers. Those are Unfriended, Dark Web, and Creed 2. But for our first three films, it's Chris, you saw two in theaters, I saw one at home. They're all kind of brand new. So we kind of have a lot to cover tonight. But I'll just say overall off the top, it was a pretty good movie week for me. I was pretty happy with almost everything I saw.
Good.
But, I don't know about you. I guess might as well just get into it. Cause you went to go see Ralph Breaks the Internet, the sequel to Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah. Ralph Breaks the Internet. This time Ralph escapes the arcade and goes on the Wi-Fi and I don't know. Weird shit happens. So the crux of this is Vanellope, voiced by Sarah Silverman. She is the like little Mario Kart racer in Sugar Rush, Ralph's like sidekick, and she the steering wheel on her arcade cabinet breaks. And the owner of the arcade is like, he goes to look for one and it's like way overpriced. And Ralph and Vanellope go to the internet to try and get a new steering wheel and hijinks ensue. I don't know. There's a lot of like in references, like memes and, like, you know, pop culture things like modern day internet references, social media, they get a lot of the big companies like Twitter, Facebook, Google, like they're all here. But to me, it just didn't work quite as well as the first one. And maybe the first one was kind of about like, you know, it was about old video games and arcades and that. And this is more about internet culture.
Is it still like kind of like video game centric, or is it just more like pop culture in general?
It's like more pop culture in general. Like there are,
it's
like
weird.
Like they've moved away from like just like, oh, it's game centric. Yes, there are things that you know they do. Like Vanellope ends up in this online, like free to play online racer.
Yeah.
Where she like, you know, meets up some new friends and the name is totally ridiculous, but it seems like one of those things like you'd see on like Facebook, like, oh, play this racing game. It's the coolest racing game or on your iPhone or something. And it's complete, like filled with unfair bullshit. And then they kind of call that out too. Like that some of this stuff is nonsense. There's the princesses from all the Disney movies show up. And I mean, I guess technically Vanellope is a princess, but all the princesses are like, they're working on the internet as those like Facebook quizzes, like which princess are you?
Like that's like their job is to like judge.
Yeah. They have like a host that like does the like, oh, like, which color do you like? Yellow, pink, blue, green. And then like the person picks it. And then, you know, at the end of the quiz, like it goes, your spirit animal, your princess is Tiana or something like that. Like, so it's like one of those like goofy, like Facebook type quiz things. It's like some of the stuff is funny. It just doesn't have that, like nostalgia to it that the first one like really played up like arcade culture and old like classic video games and preservation of those things. And this is more kind of like a, you know, tackling modern day internet culture, and it's funny, like it's amusing. It just didn't hit the same notes as the first one did for me. I still liked it. It's, I mean, it looks good. It's colorful. John C. Reilly's good as Ralph. Sarah Silverman's fantastic as Vanellope. You know, they have a bunch of other big name characters that show up. But it's, I don't know. I wasn't wowed by it like I was the first one. Like, I came out of that first one like, this is really cool. And this one's like, this is all right. Like, it's an okay family.
It's
cartoon.
Yeah, I not to interrupt you or whatever, but I forgot how I ever said this, but like, the first one to me was like just okay, like, which is okay. Weird because I expected to like it a lot. Like, you know, I was like, I love, you know, Disney movies or whatever, Pixar. I know it's not Pixar, but you know, I love all that shit. And
right.
You know, oh, here's one that like is referencing video games and has something to do with that. So I went into it totally expecting to love it. You know, I didn't even know. Like, I came out going, it was like my reaction is like kind of how you sound about this one, where it's like, yeah, it's like entertaining. It's fine. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah,
there's nothing wrong with it. Like, if it were on, I'd watch it again. But like, it did not wow me in any way. Like, it was a fun, like, 2 hours at the movie theater.
Yeah.
It has a couple, like, end of credits. Like, one is, like, mid-credit, and, like, they have like, an after-credits scene that are both pretty funny and work pretty well. But nothing amazing. It's just okay.
I did mean to go see it, but Creed went out and didn't make it back to the theater.
That's fine.
We might go see it still. If not, you know, I will see it eventually. But what score are you going to go?
I'm going to go with a 3. It's it's perfectly fine.
Yeah. Again, I only made it to theater to see Creed 2, which we're saved till the end. Because, you know, now we've both seen it. Chris already reviewed it. I forgot what score you gave Creed 2, Chris?
4.
Okay. We'll talk about it when I get there. But first, I did see a brand new movie. It was just at home. And so if you have Netflix, you could see it. And that is The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, which is the new film from the Coen brothers, which they made for Netflix, I guess.
Just weird.
I don't know if that's how it went, or if it was like a movie. I think it is. I think they made a deal with Netflix to make a movie for them. And it's, you know, it's kind of a unique film. It's Western, but it's kind of like Creepshow or whatever. It's like an anthology movie. It's 6 short stories. And I mean, I have to say, like, I went into this, like, the thing with being the Coen brothers is I love them. I think that, you know, they have some of the best movies I think ever made, but like, it's never a guarantee. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, I think Fargo, I think Raising Arizona, Big Lebowski. I know I'm missing a big one. No Country for Old Men. Like, all those for me are like classics. Right. But sometimes I go see one of their movies and I'm just like, I don't know. It was fine. Like, I'm trying to think of one that didn't quite hit for me. They make a lot, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And including, you know, there's some that I haven't even seen. Like, the hell was that one like a year ago with Channing Tatum?
Oh, the musical one.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I never saw that. But there's
Hail Caesar.
Yeah, they make somebody, even some of their bigger ones, like, I was kind of big on Oh Brother, Where Art Thou when it first came out, but I'm like, it's just okay. So I went into this, like, let's see what it is, you know, like, it's just not a guarantee that I'm going to love everything they do, and I really, really loved this movie. Like, it was so, it's a really fun time. It's a little over 2 hours, but it goes by kind of quick because it's all short stories, you know?
Right.
Although, like, there is, like, probably one that approaches, like, 30 minutes, you know what I mean? Or a little longer. But that's still not super long for an individual story, you know what I mean? It's a beautiful-looking movie. Like, holy shit, this thing should be nominated for cinematography. If it's not, that's like some sort of crime where like a Netflix film is getting overlooked. But I don't think this movie will be because it's the Coens. At least I would hope so.
Did it play in theaters? Is it playing in theaters?
Yeah. I mean, it's... I'm sure it's like in New York and L.A. at
the very least. But I mean, qualify for an Oscar,
it has to be like one day.
Yeah, so something ridiculous, but yeah, it has to play in theater somewhere.
I think it has. I would have personally like enjoyed seeing this on a big screen, just because of like again, it's just beautiful looking. The story's kind of range and tone a little bit. But they all kind of have like in my opinion, kind of a macabre sense of humor, like kind of like gallows humor to it. Like, it's weird. It's like a mixture of like comedy and horror sometimes, and Western. I'll just talk about maybe two. I'll just kind of bounce around some of the ones I thought were really cool. Like, it starts off with Tim Blake Nelson as like this really dapper cowboy who is very charming. Like, howdy partner, how are you doing? And like
really over the top.
Yeah, like as he like it's like he's out of a fucking Disney movie, you know? Mm-hmm. Like as he rides around on his horse, he sings like these really, you know, cool Western tunes and stuff. But then like he's also one of the best gunslingers and like really quick to violence. But he never like breaks his demeanor. He's always like, oh, sorry I had to blow your brains out there, feller. I didn't mean to do that. You had to step out of line. You know, like kind of like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's just super entertaining. I don't know if you saw, like, I posted, like, one of his kills on Twitter. I was like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, so, like, right away, that's just the tone. And I was like, I'm fucking on board. This is crazy. But then there's one story that is really kind of sad about these people who are like on the Oregon Trail who are falling in love, like as they go along, and it plays out like that one might be one of the best ones. It plays out in a really tragic fashion.
Nope.
There is one that stars Tom Waits, who he looks like he's like 90, 100 years old now. And he stars as a prospector in this story, like a gold digger. He's like out on his own. He like comes across some specks of gold near a stream, and he starts digging and digging and digging, and he's trying to find his gold. That one plays out in a really fun way. Even though I kind of called how it plays out, it still managed to surprise me. And that one is like some of the shots in it. Like it just, there's like paintings, like you want to fucking hang it on the goddamn wall. Overall, I think this is really worth it. Like if you're a fan of the Coen brothers, is definitely a must watch, but if you like Westerns or anthology films, which I really dig anthology stuff, this is definitely a must-watch. Like, and it's one of the, like, you know, rare examples of an anthology where I don't think there's maybe one weak story in it. But overall, like, really high quality across all the stories. And kind of all together, they kind of set, like, a certain tone, I think. Even though, like, you know, some are way more fun than others that are just like way more haunting and sad.
Do they? It's most anthologies don't really have a tie, but is there any like tie to keep them all together? Or?
They do not like cross over into each other at all, as far as I recall. But the conceit here is that like it's like you're going through a book of short stories. So every time, like, one of the short stories ends, it kind of, like, fades out, and you're looking at the book again, and you're looking at the last page of that short story.
Oh, okay.
And that's really cool, too, because you get a glimpse of what you know, like, it's being written about what happened, so it, like, kind of gives you more insight into, like, what happened in the final shot of the short right. story, you know what I mean? And they each start, like, you know, and then, so, like, that story ends, and then you'll flip the page, and then there'll be a page of, like, wax paper, and then they flip the page of wax paper, and then there's an illustration and, like, a title for the next story, and really beautiful illustrations. I don't know, man. This thing, like, again, like, I'm a Coen guy for the most part, but, like, again, it's not always a guarantee.
Right.
But I really, you know, over the last probably decade or so, like, really gotten into, like, a good Western, like, especially if it has, you know, well-written dialogue. And, you know, this is Coen's, of course. Like, you know, it's just, like, fucking poetry in motion. Yeah, so I don't know. This is really one of the best movies of the year, and literally anybody can watch it. It's so good that I have my top 10 done for the year, like our list that we're going to do in about a month.
Okay.
A little less than a month, probably. And this is, like, I haven't sat down and figured out how it's going to fuck up my list, but it's definitely fucked up my list. It's on the list. So put it that way. It's I'm giving it a 5 out of 5. Go watch The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. Like, the only way I can see you, like, really hating this is if you don't like Westerns or don't like the Coens. You have to, like, really be against all, not like short story, you know, anthology movies, not like the Coens or not like Westerns, like hate all three of those, then you're not going to have a good time. But otherwise, I think most people will find something to really like about this movie. At the very least, everyone, I think, will agree, like, this is a stunning-looking film. So, yeah. Check it out, Chris.
I may do that.
And everyone else, check it out. Chris, you went to go see Instant Family
yeah.
in theater, which I've heard good things about, which I would not expect.
I did. It's actually it's quite good. It's the new Mark Wahlberg, Rose Byrne comedy. They play a couple that decides that they want to have kids, but not actually have kids. Like, they're going to go through, like an adoption type process, and they become foster parents, and they become foster parents to these three Hispanic kids. And it's not as easy as they thought, not as ideal as they thought. It's really funny. It's very touching. It's sad in a lot of spots. Like, it does not. So it takes, like, this idealistic approach to fostering kids, but it also touches on, like, a lot of actual issues. Like, yeah, like the way this all plays out, the way, you know, Mark Wahlberg and Rose Byrne's characters and the kids, how everything ends up, is very picturesque. Mm-hmm. But it actually does, like, play with a lot of the issues and concerns and things that go on with fostering kids and you know, child services, family services, court systems. It's kind of crazy the amount of shit that it actually packs in there while still managing to be really amusing. Like, Mark Wahlberg mostly plays, like, the straight dude, and Rose Byrne is kind of, like, just a little more on the comedic end here. But I think both work really well. Like, they work good together. But even better are these kids. Isabella Moner plays the older of the three. She was in this year's Sicario. I don't know if you saw that one.
I did not. Did you?
No. She's also going to be Dora the Explorer in the film.
I'm looking at her right now. I'm like, I can see that, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, she's, like, super cute and It's really works. And like the other two, Gustavo Quiroz and Juliana Gomez, both of them, like as Juan and Lita, are great. Octavia Spencer and Tig Notaro. She seems familiar to me. I'm not really sure who she is.
She's a comedian.
She's really good. Her and Octavia Spencer are great together. Octavia Spencer and Tig Notaro, they play the kind of mentors and the people running the foster care system. And they help place kids with these parents, and they like really lay in, like they play like kind of like the good cop, bad cop with things. And the way they play it out is really like well done. And they have great comedic timing with each other. And they play it all off of, Rose Byrne and Mark Wahlberg and the hijinks that are going on with them. I don't know. I came out of it really, really liking it. My wife really liked it. It's kind of like this unsuspecting thing. Like if you see the trailer, it's like,
yeah, I was going to say, Chris, I maybe they marketed it weird, or like, I have a prejudice in my head. Cause like I'm looking at the poster, I hear the title Instant Family. It stars Mark Wahlberg and Rose Byrne. I'm thinking this is like a Daddy's Home 2 fucking movie. Like,
yeah, no, it's not. I mean, I haven't seen Daddy's Home.
I haven't seen, you know what I mean? You have like an idea in your head. Yeah. Oh, this is a really broad, dumb comedy.
Yeah, no, this is like a very, like, it is a comedy, I guess, first and foremost, but it has something to say about like foster care and fostering kids. And yeah, it plays out idealistically and like, but I think it does give a great view of what kids have to go through. And then what people who like actually want to foster and adopt also may have to go through, and like how it's not easy. Like, yeah, it's funny. Like watching these two who aren't parents, try to acclimate themselves to having like kids in the house, and not just like kids, like, but you know, like a 5-year-old and like an 11-year-old and a 15-year-old, like all different ages, all different types of personalities, all different areas of their life, and the different things that you have to experience by being a parent to kids those ages. Like that stuff is funny, but everything that's around it is like kind of serious, like even
like heartfelt, you know?
Yeah. Like, like there's, I mean, you probably, if you've seen the trailer, you've seen the scene where Mark Wahlberg and Rose Byrne are like accosting this like redheaded kid outside of the school because they think that he has been sending like lewd pictures to their foster daughter. But like, there's a whole, like, it's, like even deeper than like that's played for comedic effect, but like this older dude was actually doing it. And so there's things in there that is like, no, that's like, and how they deal with that and how like the girl deals with it. And it's all plays out like really well. And it's kind of surprising that it works as well as it does.
Is it like, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Is it like kind of like Blockers, or is it like actually a little more serious than Blockers?
Oh no,
like
so Blockers is more like straight up like goofy comedy, right? Like,
yeah, but that has a heart, and it does. It's like intelligent, and it treats its characters like people, you know, like,
yeah,
it has a little more to it.
This is
more like this maybe like Big Sick type, like, you know what I mean? Like there's like real humanity to it. Like,
there is. I think it's maybe like more in the middle.
Okay.
Like, okay. It's not like things that are happening are definitely outlandish and goofy. But also like it has like that more serious nature to it. It's not quite as you know, it's not John Cena sticking a fucking tube up his ass. It's not that.
I mean, this is like, what is this rated even? Like,
I think it's like PG-13 or
okay.
But it's more Like, where Blockers is more like straight comedy front to end, this has way more drama in it than that, but it's still very much a comedic effort. But it'll pull at your eyelids a little bit, because there are parts in it that are sad and you feel for everybody. You feel for the kids, like what they're going through and what their mother is putting them through. And then you also feel for, the foster parents, because they want this to work. They want these kids to be theirs. But there's so much like bullshit pulling either way. And it's really touching. I was really surprised by it. I came out of there like, this is really good film. Well worth seeing, I think. So
awesome.
I'm gonna give it 4, but
okay. So if Melissa and I go to the theater,
I think it's a good one. I think it's a good
over you just go over Wreck-It Ralph.
I would definitely, yeah. If you're going with kids, Wreck-It Ralph, certainly. I wouldn't maybe take kids to this one, but
okay.
You know what? I probably would not take kids to this one. there's a couple dick pic jokes in it that are pretty funny. It's good. It's a sweet film. A lot of heart to it, and it makes you think. It was, I think, in part sponsored. Like, if you go to the movie's website, I think it's like instantfamily.org. So it was like in somewhat sponsored by people, where they have taken on like a kind of directing people on how to foster kids, and it's like there's a good purpose behind it.
I'm going to see it one way or another, but maybe we will go to the theater to see it.
It's good.
You sold me, anyways. All right. Well, that's like it for like really new movies. Well, we got more shit. Kind of new. But first up, Chris, I want to talk about Unfriended Dark Web, which I finally got to watch.
Okay.
This is written and directed by Steven Sesko in his directorial debut. And this guy, he wrote The Grudge, The Grudge 2, and Texas Chainsaw 3D.
I've never seen
The Grudge. Yeah, I've never seen the Grudge movies, but I fucking hate Texas Chainsaw 3D.
The Grudge movies were remakes of Japanese films. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, again. Yeah, not much. So he doesn't have much of a track record or anything.
Right.
You know, this is his first movie as director. I don't know. It seemed like this movie came and went. And I actually did, like, look up some reviews afterwards. Like, after I watched it, like, I went, like, on YouTube looking for reviews. They were mostly like, oh, this is mediocre. This is not as good as the first one. Or most people like kind of wrote off the whole series, like 1 and 2. And I don't know. I guess I'm in the minority here, and I think like this is like a really interesting series. And I fucking loved this one, dude. Like, I was like so bummed when I went to look up reviews and everyone hated it. So I was like, what the fuck? You gave it a 3, right?
I did.
Like, all right, so like I do not remember exactly what you like had to say about it. So like, lay it on me from what you can remember, like how you felt about it.
So I watched the original right before I had seen this, so the first Unfriended, which I thought was also okay. I was not on board with it quite as much as you or Josh were. I don't know. I kind of liked the supernatural element to that first one.
So you're like everyone else. Yeah. Okay.
This one, I don't know. Like, there were so many stupid things about it. Like, and the fact that it was like real world this time around, like, was I found even more dumb.
I'm 100% the complete opposite. That's so funny, because like when I listen to the reviews on YouTube, they're kind of with you. They're like, I like the supernatural element of the original. And I'm like, I remember liking the original, but I think I gave it like a 3 or something. Like, I'm like, it's interesting. It's like an interesting concept.
Right.
Especially like, I thought like they did a really good job of showing how people like use their computers. Like, it seemed realistic and they used it to do interesting things. Like, people talking to each other on the side while they're all having a larger group conversation on cam. Like, stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought it was really clever. But I thought that, like, this sequel, like, it took that format and it applied it to the internet, I think, in a more real-life way, which I didn't find goofy at all. Like, I found it to be fucking terrifying. Like, yeah. Like, to me, it's like, it's taking the format and like it's taking the original concept and going, no, the scary thing about the internet is the internet. It's not that there's a ghost. Like, the scary thing about the internet is there's anonymous people out there that can fuck with you.
Sure.
And try to scam you or you know. So go ahead. What were you gonna say?
I mean, yes, you're right in that. I didn't find anything about like either one particularly scary. I just liked like at the end, like, oh, it was this like supernatural nonsense that was, you know, making the guy stick his hand in the blender or whatever. And that it was like a ghost, not somebody like trying to pull this bullshit from behind, because it seems way too elaborate to do in something that is 90 minutes long. Like, because this all takes place in real time.
And
the fact that, like, okay, so this guy, like, I mean, the premise of this, right, is that, like, the main character here, he's lifted
he's stolen a laptop. Yeah.
From a cafe or
like
something.
A cafe, yeah. Like, he works there. Someone left it behind. It was in the lost and found for, like, a week, and he finally was like, I'm going to take it. Yeah.
And, I mean, I guess, like, I guess the whole end of this, and I guess we're now just flat out talking spoilers with this.
Yeah,
is that this whole thing was a setup, right? Like, that these people were chosen. That's how
the whole thing was orchestrated.
Yeah.
Like him finding the laptop was part of the scam. It was like,
right.
It was like a phishing scam. Like, we're going to put this trap out there in the world for people to stumble upon, and then we're going to play a game with them.
And basically, we're going to hostile them, right? Like, yeah. It's like people, like, bid on, like, being able to kill these people, I guess. I don't know. Like, the whole thing was, like, and I didn't hate it. Like, I thought it was fine.
You gave it a three. Yeah.
But I just wasn't like, oh, yeah, like, this is super, like, this is way better than the first or not. Like, it was like, I kind of like the bullshit supernatural element to the first one and
okay,
like, but I pretty much like, I think I gave the first one a 3 as well. Like,
I think I gave the first one a 3. I'm gonna give this one a 4, but man, I really, really loved this. Like, it, and it did scare me. Like, it like made me think twice about things.
You, like, never want to touch like a random thing again.
Yeah. And just like, okay, we've been doing a podcast for like almost a decade now.
Yeah.
If someone wanted to, they could take audio of you and,
yeah,
do all sorts of shit with you. Like, they could set up a swatting scam where they send the fucking police to your house. You know,
sure,
what
yeah, I mean?
Like,
there are hundreds of hours of us out there on the internet,
and it's just like that. Like, it chilled me. Like, I was like, oh, like, that's so, like, because that's so funny. Because like, that character talks about how he's completely locked down on the internet, and he's so smart. You know, like, oh, you know, like, he probably has like his Facebook set to private or whatever,
right.
Like, some stupid. And, you know, they're like, yeah, you have a fucking internet show, dude. There's like 3,000 or I don't know how many thousand, right? Fucking of us watching this shit. We're digging through it. We're going to fucking pull up, put some audio together and send the cops to your house. You know, like, I don't know. Like, that to me, like, I found it absolutely fucking chilling and terrifying. And, like, the things that are in it are, like, kind of based on shit that happened. Like, that swatting thing, like, that's happened. Like, I don't know if you saw on the news, like, a week ago, they call him, like, the Call of Duty swatter. Like, he fucking was playing Call of Duty with some kid, and he got the cops called, and the dude got killed. Like,
yeah.
Like, so it's, like, there's, like, yes, this is, like, blown up out of proportion and not realistic, but Like, there's like a kernel of truth to the whole thing, right? Like, there's all sorts of scams and shit out there on the internet, like waiting to prey on you. And this is just like a much more elaborate, like twisted version of all of that shit, you know? And like the whole thing at the end, I think it was almost like a little step, like even more ridiculous, where it was like, oh, this is like their game. This is their game night that they like do like all the time. Like, this is like the 25th time that they've done it or something. Where they like put this trap out into the world,
yeah,
and have this night.
Somebody's
they,
bid
they
on
kill
it.
Kill a bunch of people. But whatever. Like, it, you know, yeah, it's a little bit of goofy nonsense, but I really dug it. And like, I just kind of like, I think that people like write off, like, I think there's people I've never seen Unfriended or In Front of Dark Web who are like, oh, fuck that movie. It's all like, it's just like a Skype movie. Like, that's dumb. Like, I think like there is like this attitude about this series where it's like, oh, like that the whole format is stupid and like those movies are stupid. Like, it's like a found footage movie, but even dumber, right?
Yeah.
And like, I'm kind of the opposite, where I'm like, one, I think these Screen Life movies are interesting. Like, I really think they do some smart things with them. And two, it's like, this is kind of untapped horror. Like, the internet's only been around for what? Well, I mean, like, in our lives, like, for real, since, what, the mid-90s, you know?
Yeah, about that.
There hasn't been a lot of great horror about it. And there's, like, most movies that come out nowadays in any genre, like, aren't that clever about talking about the internet. So, I don't know. I'm not saying that this is fucking Shakespeare or anything, but I had a blast with it, you know?
Good.
I had, like, a really fun time. I was, like, totally, like, into it and riveted and, like, oh man, they're gonna do this. Like, oh no, they're gonna call cops. And, like I was calling things like a half step before they happened, and I was like, oh my god, this is horrible. Yeah, so I had a blast with it.
That's good.
I also had a really good time, Chris, with Creed 2, man. Like, you gave it a 4, right? Like,
I did.
Yeah, I'm giving it a 4 as well. Like, I don't know how much I have to say about it, but like, this is like, this is one of those things where if I saw someone on Twitter like hating on it, I'd be like, man,
what's wrong with you?
That's one of those that's one of those people that like can't be happy about anything. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that, right. I don't think like Creed 2 is not like amazing. It's not like a miracle or anything like the first one, but it's like, it's serving you up that comfort food in a pretty good way. Like, it's not, it's nowhere near as cheesy. Like, you know, it feels like a real movie. It's not like super cheesy like some of the Rocky movies. And I don't know. Like, it's just, if you like these characters, you like hanging out with them. They didn't do a bad job here. So it was like, you know, really cool to see fucking Ivan Drago again. Like, what's he like now? You know what I mean? Like, stuff like that.
And like, what's the, like the resentment that he holds against Rocky himself, but
I don't
also
think,
like,
I didn't get resentment.
Oh,
I don't know. Did
I mean,
you, like
I
a little bit.
I mean, like he went into his restaurant and was like, you know, you took all this from me, like, and
yeah,
in a way,
yeah,
he
yeah,
did,
you're right, you're
like,
right.
Like,
yes,
like in a way, Rocky did, right? Like, he beat him in Russia, and yes, and like because of that, Ivan lost everything. But that's not why, like. But I think it's, you know, there's some resentment towards Rocky, but also resentment in general to the way he's been treated by his own country and by the world. And at the time it was the Soviet Union. So like all of that.
There is.
I
think for me, at least what I got out of his performance and maybe some of the writing too, is like, there's like a little bit of a matter of factness about the way he's responding to everything though. Cause he's kind of like, you know, he's like, like there's a part where like the kid pulls him aside when they're at that dinner, and he's like, oh, why are you letting them say this shit? And he's like, I lost, man. You know, this is our shot to turn it around. Like,
right.
you gotta do it. It's like a man who realizes the hand he's been dealt, and it sucks. And yeah, he's bitter, but he's doing what he can to turn it around. Like, that's kind of how I felt about it.
In a way, I think I also think, like, at that point in time, he's still exploiting his son in major ways.
Well, like, I mean, it's kind of, like, abusive.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah.
And at the end, like, he finally realized, like, you know, when he throws in the towel.
Like,
and
like, what am I doing?
Yeah, yeah, like, I'm destroying, like, these people that I'm trying to impress and trying to get back into my life, they don't mean anything. Like, this is what means something. And, like, I thought that was really strong and really well done.
I thought it was, you know, it's like I said to you last week, there's only two ways a sports movie ends or whatever, but it's like, oh, that's a little more nuanced that, you know, he's throwing right in the towel.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it is, like, it still only ends well, like, either the good guy wins or
But
in this, it's like, I mean, there is a little more nuance than Rocky IV, right, where Ivan Drago was the bad guy. In this one, it's not quite as clear cut. Like,
he's not cartoonishly bad at all. I don't
right
think, like,
and I think
you sympathize with them a little bit.
Yeah, in a way, it's because, like, I mean, it would have been awful for them to have tried to do this in any way, but it stays away from, like, the patriotic angle that Four definitely played off of, like, USA versus the Soviet Union. Like, it doesn't play that at all here. And it's, you know, it's Adonis versus Drago. And it's this personal story instead of this patriotic one, and like this quest for revenge and to show that America is the best. Like, sure, I guess if you want to look into it deep, yeah, like, America still beats Russia, but that's not what this was about. And they like,
no, stay that element was really, I mean, it was a huge thing in Four, and it's not really here. Like, I actually, to be honest with you, I'm kind of disappointed in a way that they didn't use it. It just seems like you have to address the time that your movie's made in, and it's just like, all right, dude, nothing about Russia today. Like, you know what I mean? Like, have you been watching the news lately? Russia? Like, I don't know. I didn't want them to do, like, I'm happy they didn't do what you said and make it like a rah-rah America's stupid thing like that. But I just feel like there should have been some sort of wink and a nod to the time that we're living in, like, what is going on with Russia.
I agree to it. I also wonder, like, what do you do to shoehorn that in, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know, like, exactly.
It's I think they do a really good job of just telling, like, personal stories here. And
they even joke, like, I remember when you guys were the bad guys. Hey.
Yeah.
You know, like, just something like that, you know, like, hey, now half of America, they'd be on your side, you know what I mean?
Or maybe, like, when Victor's beating the hell out of Adonis in that first fight, like, have the crowd cheering for him or something.
Like, yeah, like, just some wink and a nod. I don't know what it is. I mean, Black Klansman does it in a very direct way near the end of its film, but there's a part in Black Klansman, it's also pretty direct, where they're like, America would never elect a Klansman to be president, and they both kind of, like, look at the camera.
Right.
Like, I don't need it to be like that, but I don't know. I just felt like this should have been something about the time. That's actually one of my few just kind of, like, minor disappointments. I'm like, oh, I wish there was something about that. But, yeah, I personally felt the Dragos were not villainized at all. Like, it's like you said, it's just the Dragos versus the Creeds, you know, or whatever. Like, you could tell the movie wants you to sympathize with them a little bit, because it starts with them. Like, the opening scene is the Dragos, you know?
Right.
Or you could just say, you know, sequel wants to set up its villain. You know, I guess Dark Knight does that too. It starts with Joker. But yeah, I don't know. I thought that they, you didn't, like, really love them. Like, I didn't want them to win or anything. I obviously wanted Adonis to win, but yeah, like, I did not hate them at all. Like, I found them compelling. Like, they were one of my favorite parts of the movie for sure. Cause, you know, as ridiculous as Rocky IV is, as we've said, like, I think you said it's your favorite Rocky movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the first ones I saw, and It you know, when you're, I would have been like 10 or 11 when I saw that movie, like it hits the right notes at that time.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
It was my favorite. It was my favorite as a kid. It's my other friend, Chris. It's been his favorite his entire life. I'm still kind of like, come on, Rocky's the best one, right? Like, that's like the real movie here.
But sure, like in terms of like quality,
yeah.
Like Rocky and even Rocky II are like excellent films, but I don't know, like four for me just like holds like that. Like I will sit down and like it's like comfort food, right? Like just or comfort viewing.
It's a blast. Like I watched. This is how I did Creed II. I watched Rocky IV, Creed, and then I went and saw Creed II in the theater. I think that's an awesome way to go see it. I think it's really rewarding to go see it that way. There's like little things that you might not catch or remember. Did you watch either of them before you went to go see Creed II?
No, I should have watched IV at least.
I think like. Because there's like a tie to Creed very early on about how he lost his car in this fight from Creed 1. And it's like, he finally gets to fight that guy, like instead of just a sparring thing. And it's like, I don't think I necessarily would have remembered that from Creed 1 if I had not rewatched it like the day before.
Oh, yeah, I did not catch that at all.
Oh, see, you missed that, huh? So, like, yeah.
I heard the car part. I just thought, like, he lost his car. He was talking some shit or something.
No, because, like, there's a part in Creed 1 where he's, like, going to the gym and he wants to get trained. The guy's like, get out of here, whatever. And he's like, I want to fight. I want to spar somebody. And he's like, he puts up his keys. I'll put up my keys for my car. And this fucking, like, professional boxer just beats the shit out of him and takes the keys to his car. And so, like, the beginning of this, like the first fight in this movie, is him fighting that guy. I think, and they say news reports like, "Oh, you fought." It's like that's from the first movie, so it's just like, and like obviously, there's like way more little nods to all the movies in it, but I don't know. I had a fun time. I was like into it all the way. Like I said, I got right out. I texted you. I'm like, I think I liked it even more than you. Like, I don't have a lot of complaints with this, you know.
It's good. It's a good movie.
Yeah, and, you know, my girlfriend, who was, like, the toughest movie critic ever because she doesn't give a damn about movies, she was into it, too, the whole time. She kept, like, because she had watched the two ones with me beforehand, like, anytime something, like, really cool, like, some sort of, like, little nod, where it was, like the part where he's, like, go break him. Like, she turned and looked at me, like, we were both, like, grinning at each other, like, it was cool. Like, there's a lot of like cool nods, and it's just like it's like a good, sweet movie. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. So yeah, I'm getting a 4.
Nice.
Stallone says this is it for him. Probably he's.
Yeah.
You could tell like he was trying to write himself out of it in this one. I don't believe him.
I don't either.
I'm probably never coming back, you know, unless you give me some money.
I mean, I feel that the way his character concludes here is good. Like, it's a nice ending for it. It's a nice final turn. But also, like, I mean, Adonis he's his own person, but a lot of, like, his wisdom comes from like talking with Rocky and getting feeling.
I think the heart of this series is really, yeah, that, you know what I mean? Like, because you care about both, you know?
Yeah. I mean they're kind of intertwined. Like,
but I was reading like these two critics' conversation about this, and one of them was like, you know, it feels like Stallone has been saying goodbye for like 25 years,
standing
in the doorway. You know, like,
I mean, yeah, how many, like, so, like, Rocky like 5 Rocky was Balboa. It. Rocky Balboa was it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Creed was it. Like,
Like each one of them really feels like the end. Like, oh, this is the end of the story, right? Like,
and they would all work as perfect. Like,
and I think Stallone did want Balboa to be the end. It was just Coogler came around and fucked that up for him.
He came up with a good story and
gave him one of his best roles ever again, which is really weird because it's a role he created in the first place.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of amazing. The whole thing is kind of amazing, honestly. And I really like this one.
Balboa is not Balboa. So Stallone is 72 years old. Like,
he's starting to look it here, honestly.
Yeah, and I guess he is currently working on a Rambo 5, which is subtitled Last Blood, which is terrible, but I kind of hope like he's just putting these characters to bed, and it's time for him to retire. Like,
I mean, he's definitely, you know, the script he wrote here was him passing the torch. Like, he's literally, because you know, he doesn't know any other way to do it than to say it. Cause so he says it in the movie. Hey, this is your time now. I don't know. I kind of love his meathead sensibilities, you know, and I grew up on Rocky, so this was great.
Yep.
But yeah, I personally think he will be back for 3. I think that they'll do maybe like take him out like Mickey in 3. I don't know.
Possible. We'll see.
Anyways.
Either way, I'm good with. I mean, they don't have to do a Creed 3 either.
They like, didn't have to, all right with that. They didn't have to do a Creed 2.
Right.
I did enjoy this one. You know what? I did really like the boxing too in this one.
It was good.
Everyone talked up how good Coogler shot like some of the stuff in 1. This was awesome too, I thought. So anyways, yeah. Chris, I don't know what you have for next week. For me, I'm just kinda like trying to catch up on stuff before the end here, you know? I don't know.
I don't know off the top of my head. We'll see. Maybe I'll get out to see something. I'll probably watch something. I don't know.
I will have stuff for you for sure. In fact, I have a one for next week already called Cam. I think would go really well with Unfriended too. But anyways, we'll get to that and others next week. But yeah, I think it really is for me. I'm going to be just catching up on shit, I think.
All right.
Maybe watch a little Toy Soldiers somewhere in there. I don't know. But
sounds good.
All right. We'll be back.
Movie dudes. Do, 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 do.